see what the Lord is already doing and join hands with Him. Amen. We have a big week coming up. Vacation Bible School. All right. I will take a couple of minutes just to pound this into you because you need to be praying for it. Pastor Jerry, you're going to come at this time. We're going to pray for the kids. I'm also going to ask you to pray for Vacation Bible School. So the kids, can you come up here today? Some of you are going to be at Vacation Bible School this week. Isn't it an important ministry?
36 years we've been doing this. Do you think I think it's important?
Oh, glory.
Amen. What a privilege, Jay, to have all these children. Wow. Do you think they're wonderful? Look at them up here. Don't you think they're all beautiful? Oh, yes. So precious. We're going to be in Yarker the very time you guys are doing your Vacation Bible School here. And every night they have people praying for the Vacation Bible School in the morning. Every night. So you could take that upon your heart sometime in the evening to set aside a little time as a family, as a couple, as a single, to pray for the children that the seeds would be sown in their hearts. Yes. In a powerful way. So let's pray. Mm. Like all the adults, have kind of put your antennas towards all these little children here.
Yes.
And maybe put one hand right on the pew that there will be children right around about you that will be sitting on that seat.
Yes, Lord.
Pray that the Lord's blessing, that they'll come and hear.
Lord.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the children, Lord. You came, the mothers brought them, and they wanted you to put your hands on them and bless them, Lord. What happened? What was that transaction that took place when you put your hands on them? Something transferred onto those children that perhaps changed their lives. Who knows that what that child went on in their life to become because of some power that was transferred. And Lord, pray, Lord, as we put our hands forward, as we put them on the pews, and Lord God, that your spirit would be in this place in a powerful way, that children, Lord, as they come and they see the love of God and they see the excitement and they see the all that happening, Lord, they would realize that this is more than just a building, not just another summer camp, not some kind of soccer place, Lord, but this is a place where something special is happening, that their lives would be changed,
Lord God.
That they would experience something more than any kind of educational program that can offer them, Lord, that they would experience the Spirit of God in their lives, Lord. They would experience a love, Lord. Children are looking for love. There are a lot out there are coming from homes that are troubled and broken, and they're experiencing a loss of love, Lord. That they would feel it, Lord, as we walk by, we put their hands upon a shoulder of a child and say, "We're so glad you could come," that there would be a transference of their Spirit of God into that little life, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for these children here this morning, Lord God, that their lives would be changed forever, Lord God, that they would rise up and be men and women of power and of purity and strength and go forth in this nation of, Lord God, of confusion and of darkness, that they would be bearers of light and of strength, Lord. Oh God, that they would be an army marching forth, Lord, right from this church here. They would be men and women that would go forth into the nation, that would change the nation because of little church and harmony. I found Jesus Christ in a Sunday school, in a children's church, in a Vacation Bible School, and I'm going forth in the power of God, Lord.
Lord.
We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for this. Thank you for the workers, Lord, for Carol, for Bruce,
Lord,
and all the people, and for Suzanne Darlene and Barry, Lord, and all the people that Monica would come to help and pray. That we pray that God that you would anoint them, Lord God. And whenever there's a little troubled guy and he's running up and down the pew and jumping over the back of the pew, Lord God, that you would put your hand upon them and they'd say, "Oh, God's got a plan for you."
Yes, Lord.
Oh, I sat in a church and drew on church envelopes and ripped them all up. Lord, whoever had thought that I would be drawing in churches today, Lord. Oh, God, you have a plan for these children,
Lord.
Yes, Lord. But what we would see as you see, Lord God. In your name we pray.
Jesus' name. All God's people said. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Take the children downstairs or wherever they're going. Sister Bonnie has a special as the offering is being taken up. Amen.
Deep within my heart, there's a fire.
Oh, glory.
There's a world. Desire to see you say and I've got to go. Like a vapor in the air, we've got to care, 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 and we've got to go. That those little lambs are fair.
We have to go with the gospel. Amen? Are you going? I want you to go with the gospel. The unprotected portion. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that You have given us this day to live and to learn and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Thank You, Father God, that, Lord, by Your Holy Spirit, there is nothing that cannot be done that is according to Thy will, O God. Father, we thank You, Lord, that in this assembly this morning, there is massive potential for the kingdom. Massive potential that is being withheld from the kingdom. And Father, we pray, Lord, that You would release in our hearts a hunger and a desire, Lord, to be the vessels of honor in Your house, O God, that You desire us to be, and to send us forth from this place, O God, ready and willing and equipped to serve You, Father God, every day and every way, Father God. Lord, we look around us in this society and we see the deterioration of values. Father God, Lord, we are at times caught up in the discouragement because of this world. But Father, Lord, when we gather together in Your house today with the brethren, Father, we are encouraged to remind ourselves that You are on the throne. So Father God, we pray that, Lord, as we share the Word of God today, that, Lord, You would again remind us of Your ability and Your power and Your desire to make us overcomers, because You have overcome. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All God's people said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. The other day I finally did what my wife asked me to do. One of the many things. She wanted to get rid of an old china cabinet. And so took the china cabinet out and put it on my... She wanted to go to the dump. I just couldn't part with anything and send it to the dump. Not when I have a cabin in the bush. To send everything to that we don't desire at home anymore. And so I took the china cabinet and I put it on my trailer and I put a tarp over it. And quickly I had to go somewhere else. I quickly ran the rope around it or whatever and left it for the night. The next morning I came out and noticed that the wind had just pulled a corner of that tarp. Just blown it up a little bit, just a little corner of that whole 8 foot by, 6 foot trailer. There was just a little corner that was pulled back by the wind. And I thought, oh, I hope it's all right. Well, as I took the rope off and pulled back the tarp, I noticed that in that corner the rain had come in and this old thing had begun to, you know, the old plywood, and it had been bubbled and discolored. It went down and just ruined the entire thing. But I still didn't take it to the dump. Still took it up to my shed, and it's up there right now. But what happened when I did that was the Spirit of God, because He often does this to me, is that the spirit of prophecy comes on me, and I looked at it and I said, the Lord said, I believe, the unprotected portion is what ruined the entire thing. I had tarp over 90% of that. I thought it was 100%, but 90% of that china cabinet I had a tarp over, but it was only that little bit, that little corner, that little unprotected portion that ended up ruining the whole thing. You see, 90% coverage is without meaning if the unprotected portion is not covered. And God grant me the grace to share about what the Lord is wanting to say here to the church. You know, if you have an insurance policy and your house burns to the ground and you have been paying and paying and paying and paying insurance for years and presume that you are covered by your insurance policy, but find out that the source of the fire, the kind of fire that it was, or the source of that damage in your home was not covered by your insurance policy, you don't get anything. The unprotected portion of your insurance, that little thing or whatever it may be that you didn't bother to spend the extra $3 on, or whatever it may have been that would have covered you, you remain uncovered. How are we covered? Or how are we not covered? Well, the first I want to draw your attention is to Ephesians chapter 6. I want you, if you have your Bibles here, I put it up there for your convenience. But if you have your Bibles, please turn to Ephesians chapter 6. You know this passage, many of you. It is about the armor of God. This is the first thing that the Spirit revealed to me right off the bat when I started thinking about the unprotected portion. Is that God has provided, it's the armor of God, therefore it is something that God has provided for you to put on. You got to put it on, friend. But the coverage is provided. You'll find in verse 11 of this, the commandment actually, it's in the imperative in the Greek, it says, put on. It's a command. Put on the full armor of God. Notice he doesn't say put on some of the armor. Notice he doesn't say put on the top three pieces of armor. He says put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to take your stand against the devil's schemes. We are at war. And I'm not talking about bombing raids against ISIS in the Middle East, although that is certainly part of what our nation is involved in right now, but we are in a spiritual battle. Every single one of us that names the name of Jesus is at war. And so our commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ, tells us by His Spirit, put on the full armor of God, because you don't want to have an unprotected portion. Why? Because the enemy that we face today is not as dumb as you think, and he's not as smart as you think. So he's somewhere in between. But if there is a place that is uncovered or unprotected, then why would he, as an adversary, not target that place? If you go down to verse 13, you also find it repeated again. It says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, for when that evil day comes. Friends, there are days of evil coming. He says that when the attack comes, when the enemy throws everything at you, he will throw something directly at the unprotected portion. Why? Because if he gets you in the unprotected portion, he gets the whole thing. He puts you out of commission. He gets you out of the battle. You know, the devil comes to kill, that's right. That's part of his plan and strategy. But he also comes to steal and destroy. Remember that as well. If he can kill you, that's great. But if he can just put you out of the battle. You know, many of the armaments of war are not designed only to kill, but they are designed to wound horribly so that it will take six other people to look after that one wounded soldier. And thereby grind down the resources of the enemy. The tactic of the enemy is both simple and ancient. He attacks the unprotected portion. That does not mean that he does not engage you in the other areas, even the areas of your strength. We have a list here, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. I speak in King James, even though I read in NIV. The shield of faith, which of course was that shield, which is that all-encompassing thing which covers everything. Oh, it's so essential. The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. We have them listed here. He will attack the unprotected portion, but that does not mean he will not attack generally in every area for two reasons. Number one, because why not wear you down in certain areas? But the other reason is that if he can keep you occupied in the areas of your strength, you may even neglect further the areas of your weakness. And if you notice the text of Scripture here, and you notice the armor of God, and I'm not going to get into the details of each piece of armor today, but sufficient to know that God has provided the saint, that's you, armor, so that you will not be defenseless in the battle. That will happen. It's not a matter of if or but. It's a matter of when. But you'll notice in this armor, and many commentators have noticed this over the years, that there is no armor for the back. That all of this armor is a frontal engagement. And some have said this, well, there's no armor for the back because Christians are never to run and retreat. You know, that's kind of a popular... I've probably said that before on this pulpit. You know, there's no armor for the back because God does not intend His people to run away from the battle. But if you further examine the Scriptures, God has provided armor for the back. You see, the first point I want to share with you today, the unprotected portion, is the armor of God. Absolutely, that's the most well-known. But the second thing is the presence of God. I want to draw your attention to Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 12, it says this. It's the prophet Isaiah is speaking to the nation of Israel. There's various components of the prophecy of Isaiah. He's speaking as he gets near the end of Isaiah in a millennial type of thinking of the new kingdom that's coming. But he is speaking to Israel, and I believe he speaks to us today through the prophet. In Isaiah 52, he says, "Depart, depart, go out from there, touch no unclean thing, come out from it and be pure, those of you who carry the vessels of the Lord." Now, friends, you are all temples of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? Does anybody know that? I'll take that sneeze as an amen. Amen. Say, do something. Did you all know that those of you that are born again have the Spirit of the living God within you? All right. So you are vessels of the temple. And he says this, those of you that carry the vessels of the Lord, those of you that have the Spirit of God, those of you that are sanctified, those of you that are cleansed, he says this, but you will not go in haste or flight. In other words, you will not run away in fear. Those of you that have purified yourself, those of you that have sought the sanctification of the Lord, His purification, His separation, His holiness. And here's the reason why you won't run away from battle. For the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard. Not only is He in front of you, Not only is He leading and directing His people, not only is He in the front by the Holy Ghost of God. Of course, you know in the Old Testament, in Moses' day, there was a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day that led the people of God into the promised land. Yes, He was in front of them, but here is a strategic, important notice for the people of God that if you walk in holiness, that if you walk in the will of God, you don't have to worry about running away, number one, because you won't have the fear to run away from the enemy, because you'll know that your God is bigger than the enemy. But second of all, you won't have to worry about the tactics of the enemy getting you from behind, because He says, the Lord will guard your rear. In church ministry, in Christian ministry, there's often this desire to see who's going to get you in the back. It's in politics, it's in the corporate world, it's unfortunately in some ministry as well. But if you're doing what God has called you to do, if you're living the life, if you're walking in holiness, friends, He's got your back. Isn't it good to know that you don't have to worry about your back? You don't have to worry about what people are saying about you. You don't have to worry about rebellion in the ranks. You don't have to worry. You see, the pastors and the leaders that are always doing this, looking back, always worried that someone's trying to do something against them, always worried that somebody's going to try to overthrow their pastorate. They spend so much energy looking back and dealing with this. Friends, it's not trusting the Lord to be your rear guard. What specifically is the rear guard of the Lord? Isaiah 58, the next text, tells us. A few chapters down in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6, it says this. Again, speaking to Israel, he says, is not this the king, the kind of fasting that I have chosen? He's speaking to Israel. He says, to loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of yoke, to set the oppressed free, and break every yoke of bondage. Notice he's talking about the hands of the believer. Busy hands. Busy hands. Doing what? Blessing others. Ministering to others. Doing good. So not only does he talk about in Isaiah 52 about walking in holiness, but he says that if your hands are busy. There's an old adage, I bet your grandma told you this one, that idle hands are the devil's tools. You ever hear that one? Well, here's the proof text. Grandma was right. That if we're not doing stuff for the Lord, if we're not busy for His kingdom, if our hands are not ministering, instead of worried about what's going on back here, if our hands are ministering, let's continue on what he says. To share food with the hungry, to provide provide shelter for the wanderer, to when you see the naked, to clothe them, to not turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Here we find out specifically what the rear guard is. In chapter 52, we find out that God will be our rear guard. And in chapter 58, we find out specifically what the rear guard is. It's the glory of the Lord. What is the glory of the Lord? What is the Shekinah of God? It is the presence of the Lord. Friends, God's got your back. When you're walking in holiness, and when your hands are busy serving, helping, you don't have to worry about what they're saying about you or what they're going to try to do to you, friends. When I say busy, I don't mean wearing yourself out for some kind of boost for yourself. I'm talking about just being available for God. I'm talking about, he gives a list here of the things that, you know, you don't have to go out looking for these things. These things will come to you. You know what I'm saying? You know, you can be at the in the emergency for yourself, but find out that you end up ministering to others. The glory of the Lord, the presence of the Lord will be your rear guard. Oh, I love this, friends. This is shouting stuff. You know, there was a time in the life of Israel when God was sick and tired of His children. I don't know if you've ever been sick and tired of your children. But God was kind of at that point when He was sick and tired of the children of Israel because they were whining and they were whining and they were whining and they were saying this. And God kept providing and God kept providing and the children kept the whining. Finally, God comes to this particular point where He says to Moses, He said, "Moses, man of God, I'm going to make you a deal. I'm tired of listening to these kids. I will keep all of my promises. I will give them the promised land. You can go into the promised land and you can take the promised land. I will guarantee your success that you will get the promised land, but my presence will not be there. You can have all the promises. You can drive the new car and have the new house, and you can have all the word of faith stuff you want. Amen. You can have all that stuff, but just not my presence. My presence." What did Moses do with that deal? He said, "Lord," I'm not going to turn to that passage or deal. I just wanted to draw your attention. Moses said, "Listen, God, if you don't go with us, it's not worth it. I'm not going. It's not a matter of my prosperity. It's not a matter of us getting stuff. It's not a matter of us being comfortable. Lord, it's a matter of your presence." Friends, I'm afraid that the church today is looking for the promises more than they are the presence. "Oh Lord, fill this church with people. Oh Lord, do this. Oh Lord, do that." Yeah, you know, focusing on, well, we need this. We need more money, more this, more that. "Oh God, do this for us. Oh Lord, your promise, your word says this." And there's nothing wrong with holding God according to His promises, friends. Don't get me wrong. The promises are there for a purpose, to bless the children of God. But if you want the promises and you're not so worried about the presence of God, then you've got it mixed up. You got to be like Moses. It says, "Listen, if I go face to face with the promises of God, but I don't have the presence of God, I've got nobody guarding my back. The glory of the Lord is what guards us. The glory of the Lord is what covers the unprotected portion. When you move forward in the will of God, being led by the Spirit of God, you can count that God's protecting your backside so you won't backslide." Amen. There's a tremendous prayer strategy. I believe the Lord is attempting to teach His people at this time. The strategy is called rear guard praying. When you look at it militarily, rear guard is a detachment of troops detailed to guard the rear of the moving column. The rear guard is generally used, I'm reading from a military-minded person. The rear guard is generally used for a security during a forward movement operation. But it is also a detachment concerned with delaying the pursuit of a main military body in retreat. This particular guy called a book called The Art of War said, "Ground that is of great advantage to either side is contentious ground. On contentious ground, hurry up your rear guard." And friends, I would say this today, in case you didn't know, we are in contentious times. We are in very contentious times. We don't have friends like we used to have friends. And those that used to be our friends, well, they're just not so friendly anymore to the Church of Jesus Christ. We live in contentious times in our political situation. We live in contentious times in our education system. We live in contentious times. The church is the bad guy, it seems, everywhere you turn around. That is to say, the true Church of Jesus Christ, not the phonies. But the true Church of Jesus Christ is the bad guy, it would seem, everywhere. And we need friends more than we ever needed before on this contentious ground to make sure that the glory of the Lord is with us. You know what's going to happen? You're going to get stabbed in the back. You ever been stabbed in the back? You ever been backstabbed? Where did that come from? Out of the middle of nowhere. You were good, you were kind, you were doing the thing you thought was right, and all of a sudden, ooh, right there. Where did that come from? Well, friends, in contentious times, backstabbing will be a prevalent art. And that's why we need the glory of the Lord. All right, is anybody getting this? I believe this is the Spirit of God. Chuck Pierce said this, God's promises not only are to look out for you as you're going into battle, but also to be your rear guard after the battle. So when God has worked mightily, when God has used you significantly, you don't become spiritually careless. See, that's another time when we need to have the rear guard. Oftentimes the enemy lets us, or doesn't mind. Well, he does. I'm sure he minds. I won't get into the mind of the enemy, but listen this. You know, if you gain a little victory, woohoo, get a little victory in you. But if you, in that victory, let your guard down, we call it the boomerang effect. Those that have been around in Christian ministry for a while understand the boomerang effect. Just after that high, just after that victory, just after that glorious experience, just after that mountaintop hallelujah time in Jesus, whoomp! You get her kicked. Just when your rear guard is down. Friends, we've got to stay in the glory. We've got to stay in the presence. I have a quote here. I just want to put this up here. You are not, the next one, friend, you are not safe. I would say you are not protected because of the absence of danger, but because of the presence of God. I think that's worthy of repeating. I think we could read it together. Could we read it together? You're safe not because of the absence of danger, but because of the presence of God. He is your rear guard. Then there's the covering of prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says this, do not be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests before God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to spend a long time on this particular section, but friends, you know, we talk about prayer covering. About covering in prayer. I mean, if you've been around circles for a while. And what I'm saying is, friends, it is important to cover yourself, your family, your friends, and everybody in prayer. It is the unprotected portion that the enemy will attack. And the unprotected portion is what is to get you, to bring you down. And friends, what is it that guards your heart and mind? But it is the peace of God. Friends, when you're walking in the will of God and when you're walking in holiness, friends, and you're experiencing the glory of the Lord and you're putting on the armor of God as God has so commanded, and God is watching your back, hallelujah, and you're covered in prayer. What a wonderful thing it is, friend. Enemy, the biggest battleground that the enemy has to play with is your mind. Right here. I think it's right here. I'm pointing to the right spot, some of you. Anyways, this is the place where God, where the enemy wants to bring confusion. He wants to bring doubt. He wants to allow the world to bring its philosophies, its garbage, and get it into your mind. Friend, if you aren't in prayer, then how will the peace of God guard your heart and your mind in Christ? You'll begin to think like the world. You'll begin to understand like the world. You'll begin to get these confusion and all this kind of stuff in. You need prayer to protect your mind. If your mind is the unprotected portion, oh, friends, the enemy will come in. You don't want it because that unprotected portion will rob you of your soul. Lastly, covered in authority. Here's where it gets controversial. Many in the modern church are naked from the attack of the enemy on their bodies and their minds and their families and on their businesses. on their spiritual walk with God because they lack submission to godly authority in their lives. It has been one of the greatest strategies of late of Satan to get people to either abandon spiritual authority in their lives by separating themselves from the house of God, or to trivialize spiritual authority so they become mere consumers of spiritual truth and not submitters to authority. You understand the difference? A consumer goes to this church and goes to that church and goes to this ministry and goes to that ministry and gleans a little here and gleans a little there, and there's nothing wrong with gleaning. Absolutely nothing. But instead of gleaning and being under the covering, they only glean. And what happens is, this is one of the most significant areas of protection that God offers the individual that is most neglected in the body of Christ. And they think that, well, if they can just glean and graze here and there but not submit to authority, they're okay, because they're taking in teaching and they're taking in this and that, putting on the appearance when schedule and time and everything permits, of course. But God help us if anybody tries to speak into our life truth. God help you if anybody tries to speak the word of truth into your life and speaks in some form of authority into your life, because they will not receive it, because they will say, who are you? You see, the unprotected portion is the covering of the church. People have been deceived into wanting to remain in the unprotected wilderness of individualism instead of being part of the genuine covenant community. It's not about a building, people. It's about a body. And that body is alive and real. The controversial text I want to look at is about head coverings. Oh, just glory to God. Let's talk about women head coverings. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10, a much maligned, a much misunderstood text of Scripture. But in chapter 11, verse 10, it talks about this head covering issue. And I notice none of you ladies have hats on today. That's fine. Because it's deeper than this. It goes beyond this. It refers to it in verse 10. He says, Paul is dealing with men and women issues, and he's dealing in the church issues, and he's talking about it as a sign of authority. Okay, listen to that. Because we want to talk about authority as a covering. It's a sign of authority on our head. Then verse 15, he says this. He uses the word covering. It is a covering for her. He uses the term peribaloa. It sounds like baloney, but it's not. It's not baloney, friends. Peribaloyon. But the first thing I want you to look at is the peri. What is peri, you know, as a preposition? Maybe you've seen it, you know, in other words in English. Peri means to surround, right? To peri is the preposition that means to surround. The head covering is not something that is thrown on, so to speak, as a doily. You know, have you been to the churches where they have the box of doilies? Maybe you've never been to one of those churches, but they have the box of doilies right by the door. If some lady comes in without a hat, then they get you throw a little black doily over your head. And that's, you know, God bless them, and I respect that. But the point of what he's saying here is this. Listen, there is a sign of authority here. This covering, the word literally means to encircle, something to throw around, to wrap one's body, to cover completely, a mantle around the body, a body vestment. Now, you think of vestment. What's a vestment? Well, in more liturgical churches, the priest or minister puts on a whole robe when he preaches. It's called a vestment. So, we're not talking about a doily on your head. I mean, that's symbolic, but what is it symbolic of? It's symbolic to spiritual authorities. He even refers to it because of the angels, because of spiritual authority around. What this lady is doing is she is making a statement that I am under authority of my husband, and I'm under the authority of the male headship of the church. And this doily thing or marig, this covering, obviously, well, it's not about it being a little doily on your head, because what it means is the whole thing. To be wrapped around so that there is no unprotected portion. Imagine that. I don't see too many ladies coming in. Instead of handing out doilies, they should be handing out quilts. You know, according to the definition of what this is, so that you get the quilt and you wrap it all around. If you really want to be true to the symbolism of what it means, is that you are protected, that you are under covering, that you're under protection. And this is what is so damning in the church world about the feminism that has crept into the church, is that it's trying to remove this very strategic and important part of God's protection in the church. Let's take a few minutes to remind ourselves of the other authorities, the other coverings that God has said of the church. Romans chapter 13, the next text of Scripture, is talking of secular authorities. Yes, even secular authorities are a protection. Everyone, he said, must submit himself. Again, this area of submission, just as it talks of the head covering. In Romans 13, we are under the covering. We are to submit ourselves to every governing authority, for there is no authority, that word again, authority, protection, except that which God establishes, the authorities, again, God's protection, that exist, have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. They will have an unprotected portion. If you want another text, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 says this. The next one, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Again, if you didn't like what Paul had to say, then here's what Peter had to say. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted amongst men, whether to the king as to supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. If you will do this, you will be covered, you will be protected, and the area of your life that people are ready to criticize you about will be protected because you are standing in authority, standing under authority. Another unprotected portion that's covered. But Hebrews chapter 13, it gets to the church. You see, we can understand. We have a hard time with the male headship thing. We can understand the government thing, you know. Especially when Romans 13 says he holds not the sword in vain. Well, you better obey. But in Hebrews chapter 13 and several other passages, the next one, Hebrews 13, he says this. You may want to look at this one. In verse 17, he says this. And he says the very same terms as he talks about government, the very same terms as he talks about the officials, the government, the leadership of the world, the same terminology he refers to in the church. He says this. Again, he is using imperative language in the Greek. Obey your leaders. He is not referring to the government. He is referring to the church. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. That's what he says about the church. They keep watch over you as men who must give account. Obey them. Again, he says what they obey. So that their work will be a joy and not a burden. For that would be of no advantage to you. He says this. Being under a covering is an advantage to you. See, everybody in this individualistic age says, I don't want to be under anybody's authority. I'm my own individual. I'm my own person. But what they're doing is they're leaving themselves unprotected. Peter, the writer of Hebrews, is saying this. He is saying, listen, this is for your advantage. This is your protection. To have godly leadership, to have pastors and elders, to have bishops, to have whatever it may be that's in the system that you're in, but to have leadership, to have brothers and sisters in Christ that have got your back, so to speak. The people are praying for you, and I've got so many texts of Scripture that talk about how the body of Christ defends each other every day. He says if you're part of that, it's your advantage. It's not just your obligation. You cannot live the New Testament Bible without the Church of Jesus Christ. You cannot do it. But it's your blessing. I asked one of the young people the other day, I said, who's your mother? Who's your parent? They told me. It's all P's, so I got, who's your parent? I said, who's your prime minister? Stephen Harper. Who's your premier? Kathleen Wynne. And the answer was yes. I said, who's your pastor? I guess maybe you are. We're talking, friends, is an unprotected portion. Many people don't take advantage of spiritual authority because spiritual authority has taken advantage of them. You hear what I'm saying? They don't want to take advantage of this opportunity. They don't want to take advantage of this blessing. They don't want to take advantage of this because they've been taken advantage of. What do I have to say about that? Well, it's interesting, if you're one of the 30,000 media people that watched the debate plus 16 preachers, on Thursday night when the Prime Minister was taken to task about the 59 senators that he appointed, the commentator went beyond what he should have done, I believe. And he asked the Prime Minister a question, which I think it was wrong for him to ask, but he asked the question, he says, are you going to apologize for the 59 senators that you put in? And are you going to apologize for the ones? He said something to that effect. And here's what the Prime Minister said. It is not my place to apologize for the actions of individuals, but it is my place to prevent it from happening again. Somebody this week, or actually last week, I asked them if they go to church. They were working on my car, and they said, oh! I said, my first wife took me to church. You always know there's something wrong when they say, my first wife took me to church. And he said, she wanted to go for counseling. And this lady preacher, she counseled us and she counseled my wife to leave me. I'm never going back to church. Friends, there's a story and another story and another story and another story. And you know what? Some of the stories aren't true because people, their perception of what happened is wrong. And I would say this, friends, I am not here to apologize for the actions of individuals. But I am here to try to make it safe right here. It's not my place to apologize for what has happened in other churches, for the abuse of power, for the lack of leadership, for the ungodly and unbiblical ecclesiology of the church. But it is my place and the leadership of the church to prevent it from happening from here. But you know what? It still may happen. This, friends, is a safe place, not because people are here. Because guess what? People let you down. People make mistakes. I will make mistakes. I will let you down. It is a safe place not because of the people that are here. It is a safe place because of the covering that it provides. Step away from the covering. Step away from the leadership. Step away from the concept of biblical authority. And you, friends, have an unprotected portion. I'm closing. I'm a survivor. I survived childhood. How many here survived childhood? Two of you, three? Some of you are. You survive. I survived growing up without childproofing. No childproof locks, no childproof things on medication. No little things stuck in the electrical sockets of the home. I survived without that. I survived without ever wearing a seatbelt until they made me and I was a teenager. I survived riding in the back of a half-ton truck and loved it. And feel bad for poor kids that can't do that. I survived. Friends, I survived riding on the back fender of that cockshot tractor with the three-point hitch just a spinning only inches away from my feet. I survived. I'm here today as a survivor. I survived eating unpasteurized milk. I survived eating beef and pork that had never seen a government inspector's stamp. I survived. I survived. The only vitamin we ever had was cod liver oil. I think that nearly killed me. I survived with a treehouse that we built ourselves with rotten barn boards that was three stories high and a couple of pine trees. I survived skating in the springtime on a beaver pond. I survived swimming in the Mississippi River without any lifeguard around. I survived going out, taking the rifle and going out hunting groundhogs and squirrels and barn windows and without a hunting safety course or a registered firearm or even a gun license. I survived a lot of things to get to where I am today. But I did not live one day outside of the protection of the Church of Jesus Christ. Thank God I never wandered away from that covering, that protection of the body of Jesus Christ. When my mother took me out of the hospital, Doc Holmes, one of your relatives. In fact, I survived without having a doctor, seeing a doctor. Doc Holmes saw me when I was a baby. Then he saw me and did you had to get a physical to go into high school. Old Doc Holmes, probably a cousin of yours. He looked at me and he said, "You feeling all right, son?" He said, "Everything all right?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Everything all right down below?" I said, "Yes, sir." He says, "Go on home." And he filled out my thing. That was my physical. And I was scared I was going to take my clothes off. You know, anyways, because I'd heard other people had to, not Doc Holmes. "No, you look fine. You're all right." I survived. But when my mother took me out of the hospital and put me in her arms and there was no baby seat. There was no car seat. I seen the picture. These cruel people, my parents, got a picture of me. She was in her, I was held in her arms, no car seats. From Perth Great Moor Memorial Hospital, they drove the 40 miles through the backwoods, and those roads were like this back then, and some of them still are, to go up to my grandpa's back at Lammermoor, north of Hopetown. And presented me to him, my grandpa, and my grandpa picked me up and he dedicated me unto the Lord. And he was a deacon in the church. I've changed denominations over the years. I've changed churches. I've been in different churches. But friends, I have never lived a day that I was not clearly under the authority of the male headship of the biblical Church of Jesus Christ. And I count it a privilege that I am a survivor. I thank God for the Church of Jesus Christ. I love the church. Oh, I have seen stuff. You don't be in ministry for 30 some years without seeing stuff. And I still love. And I feel sorry for those people that treat the Church of Jesus Christ in a trivial manner, because I know they walk around, even though they may know Bible verses, even though they may have been baptized, even though they may know this, that, and the other, I feel sorry because they are walking around with a target on their back and they have an unprotected portion. Friends, today, I try to close. If you would come. Father, I just pray today in the name of Jesus. I know this message is a message of warning. It is a message of revelation. It is a message, I believe, that in our time and the season that we live in this particular country, in the slide of moral values, in the slide and deterioration of the structure of many churches, it is a time for us to examine ourselves and see if there be any unprotected portion before we walk out of this building, before we go into that parking lot, before we go into this world any further, any deeper. Lord, let us examine ourselves right now and see, is there any unprotected portion? Any armor of God? Any lack of the presence of God walking with us because of sin? Is there any area, Lord, reveal in us? If there's no prayer covering in our life, Lord, help us to get under the covering of prayer. And Lord, if we are taking for granted authority in our lives, if we're not in submission to the biblical authority that you've called us to be under, Father God, we pray that, Lord God, that you would just spread the mantle over us, Lord, expand the tent pegs of your habitation, Lord, right now. And Father, I sense in my spirit right now, here's what my spirit is just rising up and rejoicing in, is I see a vision of the tent pegs of the Lord's house being pulled up and the tent flap being pulled and stretched. This is the vision that I have right now in my spirit. It's not something I planned. And right now, friend of God, let it cover you. Let the mantle of the Lord's tabernacle cover you. Receive, submit unto the Lord. Say, Lord, I receive, I submit to your covering in every area of my life. In every attitude that I hold, Lord, I submit to your covering. Lord, I confess that I have went, and only by the grace of God I have survived, because there's an area of unprotected portion, an area, Lord, of neglect, an area that I have not thought important, an area that I did not value, that your Spirit is now directing me to. Father God, forgive me. May your mantle cover that area now in the name of Jesus. Amen.